Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. I don't know whether that old proverb has ever been said to you. It's not one of the proverbs in the Bible, but it's a proverb we probably all heard. And we may have had it said to us in our childhood. It could be that we'd experienced some unkindness at school, some bullying or teasing perhaps, and we went home and complained to our parents about it, and our parents said to us, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me." In other words, get on with it, suck it up, don't be a wimp. And they meant kindly, didn't they? They meant it well. But the implication of the proverb is that words have no real power. Sticks and stones have power, they can hurt and do you damage, but words, no. It was well-meant advice, but is it really true? Was it really a comfort when we went back to school to face those bullies? Would it comfort us now, really, if we knew that people were saying unpleasant things about us? I don't think it would. I don't think we could brush off destructive words just by saying, "Oh, well, they can't do me any harm. It's far better than being beaten up." Well, physically, maybe, but in other ways, words can indeed do us harm. Words have great power, and the true power of words is described in the inspired words of the proverb in chapter 18, verse 21, the last verse of our reading. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." In other words, words can have great power, even up to life or death. Can depend upon words. Now there are a lot of proverbs about words, and we're going to just concentrate on the proverbs in this particular chapter. But if you read through the book, you'd find that the writer comes back time and time again to the power of words. Words can do a great deal of good, but they can also do a lot of harm. And sometimes that harm is self-inflicted, as described in chapter 18, verse 6. "A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating." It's quite a humorous picture, really, of a pair of lips walking pugnaciously around, looking for a fight, and then getting beaten up. In other words, there is a kind of personality that just is always up for a fight, and they get what they deserve. It's a humorous description of a serious problem, which is that what we say, our words, can get us into deep trouble. I'm sure we've all experienced this. Those unguarded comments we make which stir up a storm, preachers experience that fairly regularly. We wish we could take them back, but the damage is done. Damage to our reputation or to a relationship. Sometimes our words can do us a lot of damage, and sometimes they can damage others. Just look down at a couple of verses to verse 8. "The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body." And this is really about gossip, isn't it? This is about the kind of whispers that go around a community, which seem delicious. There's something in human nature which loves secrets, loves gossip. And that's why gossip columns and websites are so popular. But these choice morsels are really poisonous. They really do a lot of damage. And we need to be careful to avoid them, especially in our church life. They can do a huge amount of damage amongst our Christian friends. So, you know, the two key criteria for anything we say about someone else. The first thing is it true? Are we just passing on something we've heard, or have we independently checked back to make sure that what we think we know, we really know? And secondly, is it necessary? Why do we need to say it? Is it true and is it necessary? If we asked ourselves those questions, it would kill off most gossip, wouldn't it? And in the letter to James, the letter from James, brother of the Lord in the New Testament, he describes these unguarded bits of gossip as like a fire, a raging fire. And that we've seen a horrible example of the kind of damage that can be caused by fire this past week. Just some kind of small incident leading quickly to a conflagration with terrible destructive results. So we come back to our key verse again. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. It seems a very stark picture. Death and life. Words can bring one or the other. But it's not an exaggeration. Even just on a purely human level, words can be deadly. You see, someone said about Grenfell Tower, I think we'll have to have the cheaper cladding. It may not have been that person's fault. Perhaps they had no choice. That was their budget. But in the end, those words, that decision in words, was one of the factors that led to the dreadful loss of life. We still don't know how many lives were horribly lost. Or think about how terrorists become radicalized. We've seen dreadful examples of terrorism, haven't we, in the news recently. Many, many factors, I'm sure, play their part, but words obviously play a deadly role. You see, these young men are taught that it's the will of Allah that they go and blow themselves up and kill as many infidels as possible in the process, that they will be rewarded in paradise. Now, we know that these are lies, but they're words, they're deadly words, and they are powerful enough to kill 22 in Manchester, 8 lives in Southwark, not to mention all the lives affected and turned upside down because of words. And of course, they also destroyed the young men who believed them, hence this rather grim corollary in verse 21, those who love it will eat its fruit. If we love words of death, then we ourselves will die. Well, it's easy, isn't it, to condemn the words that others use, these rather extreme examples. But Jesus says that all words matter. Jesus said that we would be judged according to what we say. By your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. In other words, God will judge us by our words, because our words reveal our hearts. They really do matter. Words have power. If we've only loved destructive words, then we will eat the fruit of them forever. And it will be Jesus himself who pronounces the sentence of condemnation. Jesus will judge us for our words. So the tongue indeed has the power of death, and Jesus holds that power of life and death himself. But wonderfully also, our words have the power to bring life. Words themselves have the power to bring life. Proverbs have a lot to say about life-enhancing words. And you may have noticed that in our reading. From the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He's satisfied by the yield of his lips. Words can be life-giving. Think of a person who's helped you in your life. They've done it, at least in part, I'm sure, by what they said to you. And some people speak words of life for a living. Think of a nurse working in a maternity ward, saying day after day, "It's a girl, it's a boy." Lovely words of life that thrill the parents of the baby concerned. Now, of course, that nurse didn't create life. They just announced it. Only God can create life by speaking, by words. God said, "Let there be life on earth," and there was life. He spoke life into being. And just as an aside, often people stumble on trying to compare what Genesis says with what science says. Well, what does science say about the basis of all life? Science says that the basis of all life is DNA, which is a code. It's information. God said, "Let there be life." And there was life. He made it and he sustains it by his mighty word. If he stopped speaking life, all life would disappear. But God's word is eternal. God's word is personal. God's word is more than just a life force. Hence the famous verses from the beginning of John's gospel. Familiar, great words. "In the beginning was the Word. Through him all things were made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." So the Word that made all life is Jesus Christ. He is God's all-powerful, life-giving Word. He was born into his world to overcome sin and death. And how did he do that? First of all, by his words, by speaking. His words divided people, of course. Many people rejected them. By rejecting his words, they were rejecting life, because as he said to his closest followers, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." He clearly predicted his death on the cross before it happened and his resurrection from the dead, because by them he overcame death. He overcame the power of death by dying in our place, and new life, eternal life, burst into the world when he rose again. And then he said to his followers before he left the world that they were to take these words out into the world, and that the words themselves would carry the power to give life. This is what he said: "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations." Life-giving words spreading out into the world, and they've been spreading out ever since. And we hear those words every week at St. John's. And what a privilege it is. And there's a very sad tendency, even in the church today, not our church, but the church in general, to play down the power of words. Someone invented a quotation by St. Francis. St. Francis didn't say it at all, but someone, it suited someone's purpose to attribute this to him. You may have heard it said, "Preach the gospel and if necessary, use words." It's just nonsense, isn't it? It doesn't make sense. It's like saying, "Drive a car and if necessary, use wheels." The gospel comes through words. The good news of Jesus Christ can't come any other way. And the words carry the power. The Apostle Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God to save all those who believe." Those who love it will eat its fruit. When we love those gospel words, two things follow. First of all, those words will certainly confirm eternal life in us. They'll bring us to eternal life. We'll be like a starving person finding a tree laden with fruit. We'll love to feast upon the life-giving words of the gospel. And there are many reasons why Christians often should hear the gospel. We should make a point of hearing it, reading about it. We need constant reminders of what we've been saved from, how we've been saved, and what we are saved for. That's really the thing I missed most about the camps I used to run, because at those camps you hear the gospel systematically set out day after day. It's a wonderful thing. It did me as much good as it did the youngsters who came on the camps, I'm quite sure. In fact, one of my former colleagues said, "Dan, make sure you don't lose your edge now. You're not going to camp anymore." Because the gospel reminds us of the power of God's words to bring life and how he's brought life to us. And also it empowers us to share the gospel with others, because it's impossible to love the words of life and not to share them. When I fail to share the words of life, it's because I don't love them as much as I should. We need to share the words of life with one another to encourage one another to love these words. And we need to share them with others who as yet don't believe them. Non-Christian friends who desperately need the words of life, because without them they're spiritually dead. It's through these words that life will come to them. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not only eating the fruit ourselves, we're sharing it with others. Inviting our friends to church, asking them if they'll look at the Bible with us. I was talking to someone the other day, and someone who actually quite likes to talk about spiritual things, although he doesn't like so much to listen. And I thought afterwards, really, I can't get a word in edgeways with this guy, and B, my words are no good to him. I really need to ask him if he'll open the Bible with me, if we could look at the Bible together. Because life is in the power of the tongue. Surely there's something that we can share with our friends. How can we keep these words of life to ourselves? How can we enjoy the fruit while others just starve? Those who love it will eat its fruits. Amen.